How many of you like riddles? Any of you like a good riddle or a good mystery? Maybe you get the paper and it has those riddles and problems and they try to solve them, brain teasers to try to, you know, to figure out something. Well, I got some riddles for you this morning because many people consider the book of Revelation one big riddle. A riddle that is hard to understand. And because of that, a lot of people ignore it and don't even want to touch it. In your bulletin this morning, you'll find, besides the sermon outline and an outline of Revelation, which I'll refer to in a minute, is a riddle for you. And I want you to take this riddle, just like the book of Revelation, it's for a lot of people, they can't figure it out. And once we get into it and we begin to look deeper, it becomes clearer. There's a riddle here that I want you to reflect on and think of this week. And anybody that brings back to me next week the correct answer to that riddle will get a prize. Okay? So reflect on it, think about it, and see if you can solve that riddle. And if you have the right answer next week, tell me what you have. And if it's right, I have a prize for you. Okay? So that's part of your assignment for this week. But here's some other riddles for you. What excuse did Adam give to his children as to why they no longer lived in Eden? Anybody know? What do you think? What excuse did Adam give to his children as to why they no longer lived in Eden? Any idea? Shout it out if you think you know. Well, the answer is your mother ate us out of house and home. Okay. Or here's another one. What kind of man was Boaz before he married Ruth? Ruthless. Ruthless is the answer, correct. Or who was the greatest comedian in the Bible? Any idea? You didn't know you were going to have a test this morning when you came, did you? Didn't have your Wheaties, breakfast champion. The greatest comedian in the Bible was Samson because he brought the house down. This sounds like Dick Keller's joke, by the way. Which servant of God was the biggest lawbreaker in the Bible? Any idea on that? Moses. Why, Ethel? Exactly. Very good, Ethel. How long did Cain hate his brother? What do you think? Kim said the right answer, as long as he was able. And one last one for good measure. Sally, you'll like this one. What do they call pastors in Germany? German shepherds. Well, I say, well, what does that have to do with Revelation? Really nothing, but in a way it does. Because a lot of people look at the book of Revelation as a riddle. And I've titled our first sermon as we begin this series together, Revealed or Concealed? Because they look at this book as a big puzzle that doesn't seem to make sense. And because it simply seems so hard, too hard to understand, a lot of people dismiss it and don't even want to even read it, or they ignore it. But this book, as we'll see today, was meant to be explored, to be studied, and to be examine carefully, because in it, God has a wonderful message for us. And the message that he will reveal his glory, and a message of hope, a hope that he is coming again, that yes, things are going to get worse. We're going to live in a time of tribulation. We have, in this world, we have hardship. In this world, we have hard times, don't we? But the good news of Revelation is, in the end, Jesus is coming back, and we win, and everything will be made right. And that gives us hope. And that gives us a hope in the midst of what we face now and when we find ourselves living in difficult days. Because we have a king that is reigning and a king that will return. Revelation is kind of like a curtain pulled back. Have you ever been to a play and or school, maybe a school play or the high school, or you've gone to American Music Theater or something, and you walk in and they have a big stage across the curtain. And you're sitting there out in the stage wondering, I wonder what's behind that curtain. Kim and I, when we were down in Tennessee a couple months ago, we were at the country music show, Country Tonight, and they had the curtain pulled, and there's feet walking back and forth. And I could see feet walking back and forth behind that curtain. I said, wonder what they're doing back there. And Revelation is a way where God is going to reveal or pull back part of that curtain for us so we can see a little bit of better of who he is and what his plan for things yet to come are going to be. In the weeks ahead, we're going to be taking this curtain piece by piece and see if we can reveal for all of us God's plan, because behind that is a picture of glory. And we can't see it right now because it's veiled, it's covered over. But God eventually is going to give us pieces that we'll be able to, in the weeks ahead, see that glory revealed as we understand more and more of this plan. It's like building a puzzle. And you have your puzzle pieces. And for one piece of the puzzle, if you try to figure out the picture, you can't understand it. It doesn't make sense. But when you get the whole puzzle pieces together, and a lot of you like to build puzzles, Amali, you like to do that a lot, and build puzzles over the winter, and you can't see the picture until it's all together, right? From a couple pieces, you can't tell. So we're going to be building a puzzle, and in the weeks ahead, each of you, or whichever you're going to have opportunity to put a piece together, start with Thelma. She's going to put the first piece up for us on our board up here. And by the time we're done, this whole puzzle will be completed. So you want to put it in that far corner over there. Yep. Can anybody tell what that is? Whoops. Can anybody tell what that is? You can't tell from that first piece of the puzzle. There's no way. But as that gradually begins to fill in, it's not going to stay. Okay, it should. Okay. So we'll work on it. So today we're going to begin to roll back the curtain, put the first piece of the puzzle up. As we go, the weeks will get clearer. But we begin with an overview of the book of Revelation. Now, in your bulletin this morning, there was an outline. You can pull this out for a minute. Just gives you a handle on the book. I'm briefly going to go over this before we get into our first message today. But to give you a handle of the book so you can kind of understand a little bit clearer how this book fits together as a whole. Because in seeing the big picture as it fits together as a whole, as we begin to look at the smaller details of it, it might make clearer sense. And this outline came from a commentary called Exalting Jesus in Revelation, written by Daniel Aitken. But the introduction is what we're going to look at today, and that's the Christ of communication, because we're going to see that he is the God who reveals his will to his people, what we're just going to discover this morning in that first part. The next part is a main vision. There's four main visions in this book. And the next first one deals with Jesus and the churches, as we'll see as we get through there. And in that, we're going to discover that he is the God who rebukes and refreshes his church. And then there's a second main vision, which goes from chapter 4 to chapter 16. And that's the Christ of the cosmos. And in that, we're going to discover in that long section that he is the God who reclaims the earth for his kingdom. And if you think of these main points, it will help you understand the book a lot better. Then the third vision is the Christ of conquest, which goes chapter 17 to 21. And that is, he is the God who repays the ungodly for their sin. And the fourth vision goes chapter 21 and chapter 22. That's the Christ of covenant consummation. And he is the God who reigns for all eternity. And there we're going to be talking about heaven and what's waiting for us. And then the end of the book is the concluding challenge, the Christ of challenge, and he is the God who requests all to come to him. So it's a simple outline for you that will help you get a handle on the book. So keep this in your Bible as we go through Revelation. It will help make things clear. As we're going through this study together, if you have a question that you would like addressed or you don't understand, write it down and put it in the gold box for me. I'll get it. I'll look over it, and we'll try to address it as we go through these weeks ahead. So that if you have something you don't clearly understand and would like to know more about, write that down and we will address it. Also, if you're listening online, you can do the same thing by contacting us through the contact site. With that introduction in mind, Revelation was written by the Apostle John, one of the closest disciples of Jesus of the inner three, around AD 95-96, towards the end of the first century. John wrote this when he was banished on the island of Patmos for preaching the gospel. And he was banished there. Now an old man, well up in years, and God gives him this vision of things yet to occur as a word of encouragement to him and also to us and to those who will come. So today we're going to begin to roll back the curtain. And one little piece, can you tell what this picture is yet? Can you see the glory revealed yet? It's one little piece as we begin to reveal back this curtain and see what God's glory revealed to us is going to be. But in the prologue that Bob read for us, verses 1 through 8, which I hope you read over and reflected on this week, we'll discover four reasons why we need to read this book, even though it is a riddle. Even though it's hard to understand, and even though many people ignore it, there's four reasons we'll see what makes this book so precious to us, and why it's worthy of study, and why we're taking this time in this book together. The first reason is because Revelation, well, this book brings to us a word of personal revelation from God. It's a God where he is revealing something to us. Notice as it begins, the revelation of Jesus Christ. This book takes its name from that very word, revelation. And notice something. It says revelation, right? Not revelations. I've heard people say the book of Revelations, but it's not. It's one revelation of something that we'll see. It's glory revealed, as we'll see as we go through this. But it's a word of personal revelation, and that's why this book is important to study. And what is a revelation? A revelation can be defined as a revealing of something, of a disclosing. It comes from the word apocalypse, from which we get our word apocalypse or apocalyptic. And it means to reveal, unveil, uncover, or disclose. It's like God is pulling back the curtain to show us something that before we could not see. It's like in The Wizard of Oz when they get to the end of the movie and the wizard's talking up above from that balloon head and he's really behind the curtain and he says, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. But it's really God rolling the curtain back so that we can see something that we didn't know before. I come across a website that Dean Gardner sent me this week, and from Covenant Seminary, the guy who was teaching on that, on the book of Revelation, had this definition of revelation, and I liked it. He said, revelation is a supernatural revealing of truth that is known only by God. And that's what this book is, something that only God himself knows. But he has chosen to make it known to you and to me for a purpose. And we'll see what that purpose is as we go through this sermon this morning. But something that we wouldn't have known if it wasn't for God telling us. And what did he choose to reveal? Well, he chose to reveal himself because God is the subject of this revelation. Notice it says the revelation of who? Jesus Christ. And this book of Revelation, as you read it, one of the keys to helping understand this book is look for Jesus. Because it is the revelation of Christ. It's God revealing who Jesus is so that we can see him and understand him better, so that we can know about what is yet to come, but ultimately to see his glory revealed through this book as we study it. It's the revelation, for God is the subject, the revelation of Jesus Christ. He has revealed himself. That's what this book is about. John chapter 1, John writes that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and revealed his glory. And we have seen him, the testimony of the one and only. And he goes on to say in verse 18 that no one has seen God except Jesus, who came from him, the Word, the one and only, has made him known. In this book, we're going to see God. We're going to see Christ. We're going to see his glory revealed in ways that we wouldn't have known otherwise if he wouldn't have given this book to us so that we could see it. He is the subject, so keep that in mind. It's all about Jesus. It's all about God, and that helps us understand this book a whole lot better. And he has also revealed his plan, because he says here in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. And he made it known to us. And that the Lord is telling us part of his plan for the future, not everything. But he's chose to reveal to us some of the future so that we can be encouraged by it, so that we can be prepared, and so that we can know what lies ahead. And so he wants us to know his plan that was previously sealed. The book of Daniel and the book of Revelation go hand in hand, and we'll be looking at both. And in Daniel, he was told in the visions that he was given to seal up those prophecies and not let anybody know about them. But we're going to see in Revelation the seal's going to be broken, and God's going to begin to reveal his plan for us so that we can understand better what's yet to occur, what he's working to bring everything towards. So it's a word of personal revelation where God is the subject. It's all about him. But also, God is the source. Because this book of Revelation and this revealing comes directly from God himself. Notice what John said. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, he made it known by sending his angel to a servant, John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Not only is God the subject, but he's the source. And this book, God has chosen to reveal himself to us. And it comes from God. And it comes with his authority. He stands behind it. And everything that we're going to read about the future, what he's predicting, about heaven, and about our hope that we have, and about the fact that Satan is conquered, and that someday things are going to be made right. Someday everything is going to be, and eternity is going to be a glorious place that he's preparing. We can take it to the bank, and we can be absolutely assured because it comes from God himself. And he would not lie to us. And so the promises of heaven that we'll look at, the hope that Satan will be conquered, that all things will be brought under Christ's control, that things will get better, we can be assured it will occur because it comes backed by the authority of God. It comes from him. He is the source of this word of revelation that we received this morning. It is the word of God directly from him, from God to Jesus to an angel to John to us. We have a personal word of revelation. That's why we need to study this book. God is revealing himself to you. He's making himself known to you in a glorious and powerful way through this book. But second reason why we want to study this book is because it also is a word of personal blessing. Not only is God revealing himself to us so that we could know him better, but the book of Revelation is unique in that it begins and it ends with a blessing. In fact, there's seven blessings through all. And we're going to see that the number seven is very significant in the book of Revelation. It means perfection. It means completeness. But the book of Revelation brings a special blessing to all of those, John says, who hear it, who read it, who study it, who take it to heart. Notice what he says in verse 3. For he says, blessed is the one who reads the words of the prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. It brings the word a personal blessing through the reading of God's word. And when we read God's word, whether it's the book of Revelation or whatever part of his word we read, there's a special blessing there because we're reading God's word that nourishes and encourages us. But particularly here, we're going to see in the book of Revelation, through reading it, God's going to bless you. He's going to bless your life. Anytime we come to his word through the reading and the hearing of his word. But not only that, the blessing comes through our response of obedience. Because it's not enough just to hear God's word, but we know we have to put it into practice, right? And notice what he says, we're blessed. Blessed are those who read the word of the prophecy, but also blessed are those who hear it. And what? Take it to heart. That means put it into practice. It means pay attention to what we're reading. It means listen. Living in light of his return. He says, because the time is coming. So he says, when we read the word of God, we need to take it to heart and put it into practice in our life because the time is short. Jesus is coming back. Do you believe that? We don't know when, but he's coming. And we need to live in light of that return. And the life of blessing comes by taking that word, putting it into practice, living it in our life every day. And when we do, blessing from God results. So we have a word of personal revelation. We have a word of personal blessing that comes particularly through this book to those who hear and apply it. And we need to hear and apply God's word every day. But a third reason why this book is important to study is because it brings a word of personal greeting. A word of personal greeting from God, where he brings his grace and peace. And he said, John to the seven churches in verse 4, grace and peace to him, to you from him who was, who is, and is to come, and from the seven spirits before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. The book of Revelation brings a greeting of grace and a greeting of peace to all those who read it. First, to grace. The grace of God of forgiving our sins, of covering over our sins through our faith and trust in him. That he shows us mercy when we're not worthy of it, but yet he gives us grace and extends that to us. And the result of the grace in our life of forgiveness of sins, the result is peace. Knowing that even in the times of tribulation, knowing even in the times of storms, even no matter what hardships comes our way, we have that peace to know that Christ, that the Lord is with us and sustaining us. So it brings a greeting of grace and peace. And all members of the Godhead are conduits for which grace and peace flow in our direction. And we receive grace and peace and the greeting of God from not just one member of the Godhead, but all three. We receive greeting from the Father, who is our sustainer. And verse 4, he says, great greetings and grace and peace from him who was, who is, and who is to come. That's God the Father, the one who was on the throne. And who was our sustainer, who is our creator, and who is sovereign over the earth. When he says who was, who is, and is to come, he's talking about the fact that God always existed. He's on the throne. He always was. He always will be. It's reflecting back to that great picture in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14 of the great I Am. When God appeared to Moses in the form of the burning bush. And you remember, he saw that vision of God burning in a fire, in a bush, but didn't burn, but didn't consume. And as God spoke to him, he says, what is your name? And God said, I am that I am, or I am who I am, meaning I am the existent one. I always was, I always will be. and grace and peace flow to you from God, who is your sustainer and is the sustainer of all things. So this book of Revelation brings a personal greeting from God to you of his grace and peace flowing into your life as we read it, as we study it together. But you also receive grace and peace and a greeting from the Spirit, who is our supplier. He says also from the seven spirits before the throne. Again, notice the seven there. The seven spirits refer to the seven complete manifestations of the Holy Spirit and how he reveals himself or manifests himself to us in seven ways. But he is our supplier, who gives us strength, who gives us encouragement, who gives us power, who gives us all that we need, that he supplies for us. As he's before the throne, he's still in our heart and he lives within us. And the very God who was before the throne is a very God that's living in you at this present moment, supplying your every need. Isn't that awesome? And he brings to you grace and peace in his personal greeting to you through this book. The one who was before the throne, who is energizing and equipping us each and every day. But also grace and peace are extended to you, and a personal word of greeting is given to you from the Son, who is our Savior. And it says also from Jesus Christ, who was the faithful witness, the firstborn from among the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father. To him be glory, power forever and ever. Amen. From Jesus, our Savior, the one who overcame, the God who overcame and conquered death. Notice he said the firstborn and faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. And that Jesus, who brought grace and peace to you and to me, is the firstborn of the dead, and he has conquered death and the grave, and he lives forever. And because we live, we know we will too. And our Savior, who brings us greetings, brings us grace and peace because he loves us. And that he loves us, it says in verse 5, and that he frees us, and he called us to be kingdom, a priest, to serve him. So we have a word of revelation, personal, a word of personal blessing, a word of personal greeting. But fourth reason why this book is important for us to study these weeks together is because Revelation, this book brings to us a word of personal encouragement. And that we can be encouraged, and that's what the whole message of Revelation is in a nutshell, is that I am coming. And yes, we'll have tribulation, we'll have hardship here, but I have overcome the world, Jesus said. And he said, I am the king. And someday, Satan and his forces of evil that are seem so rampant in this world, someday they will be brought under the authority of Christ. Judgment will fall. And Jesus will reign. And that gives us hope. A word of personal encouragement to, as we see here in verse 7, look, for he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, for all peoples on earth will mourn for him. A word of personal encouragement, and our first encouragement is to be ready because he's coming. And the book of Revelation is an encouragement along that line that we need to be ready for that day. He says, my return is near. The time is near, he said. That, now, it's been over 2,000 years since this book was written. Jesus hasn't come back yet. And we could say, how does John say that the return of Jesus is near? Well, that phrase, the return of Jesus is near, means it's imminent, meaning it could happen at any moment. We don't know when, but it can happen at any time when God so desires. And we know that the next major event on his timetable is his return. And we need to be ready because he is coming. And that's our hope, that Jesus is coming again. And that's what Revelation tells us. So we need to be ready for that day. Because he says, look, he is coming in with the clouds and everyone will see him. It's a definite. It's a certain. We can take it to the bank. We know that Jesus someday will return as he said he would. His last words as he was taken into heaven and as he ascended into heaven in the cloud. And the disciples were standing there looking up into the heavens as he went on the Mount of Olives. The angel said, why are you standing there staring in the clouds? Jesus, the same Jesus who came in the clouds, who went in the clouds is going to come again in the way that he left. So it will be certain, but it will also be seen. Where he said, every eye will see him. The day Jesus returns, there will be no doubt. Everybody will know. Everyone will see it. And in the time of John, we thought, well, how could that be? How could he say everybody will see it? But we can understand that in our world now, can't we? With internet and TV, something happens around the world, everybody knows about it instantaneously. But there'll be no mistake when Jesus returns, everybody will know. And so we need to be ready because it will also bring sorrow. Notice he said that every eye will see him and even those who pierced him and the peoples on earth will mourn because of him. When Jesus returns, Israel will realize that Jesus is indeed the Messiah and they will mourn for the fact that they have rejected him and they will put their faith in him. Some, when Jesus returns, will mourn in repentance and others, unfortunately, will mourn with remorse. Because those who are not ready when Jesus returns and he sets to reign, there's going to bring judgment for them and their mourning will be a time of remorse. So we need to be ready because he is coming. But we're also encouraged through this book, a word of encouragement, because we need to look up because he is sovereign. He says, verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord. And that Alpha and Omega, as we say, what does he mean by that? Well, it's the two letters, first and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. And this is what they look like. And it would be the same as saying in English, I am the A and the Z. And what does God mean by that? He means that I am the beginning and the end and everything in between. That from the very beginning of time to the very end of time, I am and I always will be. And I'm on the throne and I'm sovereign and you can look up to me. And yes, we'll have hardship, and we don't know when Jesus is coming back, but the word of Revelation is, I am sovereign, I am on the throne, I am in control of things, I am guiding history, I am bringing it to pass, and I am. And we can trust him. And we find hope in that. As dark as things may get, we can be comforted in the fact that we can look up because he's in control. And he is bringing things to a certain conclusion that he alone has determined. Aren't you thankful for that? And we have hope from this book because of that. Revelation gives us that word of encouragement to look up. He who was, who is, and is to come is on the throne. And he is guiding and in control of things. And also a word of encouragement to hold on because he is Lord. It says here, who was, who is, and is to come, the Almighty God, the one who is Lord, who is sovereign, who reigns. Not that he may be, but that he is. Not that he may be Lord someday, not that he may be ruler. Notice what it says. In verse 5, Jesus Christ is faithful witness, the firstborn and ruler of the kings of the earth. Not that he someday will be, but that he already is. And when Jesus Christ died and rose again and is now in heaven at the Father's right hand, there sitting at the Father's hand until all enemies are put under his feet, he is still ruler and he is ruling and reigning. He is Lord now, not that he will someday be. He is Lord now. And we can hold on because, yes, Revelation tells us that someday Satan and his forces will be cast into the lake of fire. They'll receive the judgment that is awaiting them. But he has already conquered and destroyed Satan, and Satan is already under his control. Satan is already limited and can do nothing unless the Lord Jesus allows him. And we can hold on because he is Lord. And know that we have that hope. Jesus is on the throne. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He's got it in his hand. And in that we can trust. So why study this book? Yes, it seems like a riddle. And there's a lot in here that we may not fully understand because this book was given to us as a symbol, as a vision, as a sign of things. And what makes Revelation so confusing is understanding what these signs and symbols mean. And that's why a lot of people say it's too difficult. But yet, God wants to reveal glory to us. And as that puzzle comes together and we see more and more of the picture, we'll see more and more of who he is. Because he has chosen to reveal himself to us and make known that which was previously concealed and behind the curtain so that we can know him better. A word of personal revelation to you. A word of personal blessing from reading and applying this book to your life. A word of personal greeting as a father extends, as God extends you his grace and peace. And a word of personal encouragement to be ready to hold on and to look up because he is God. He is in control and he is Lord. That's the beauty of this book. And as we begin this journey together, I pray that we'll be excited by what we discover because we're going to be discovering a lot about our great God and his plan. And that we'll be excited and equipped and challenged to live in light of that by hearing and putting into practice in our life what we learn and what he reveals about himself. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this book, and Lord, it is a hard book to understand, but you have chosen to give it to us to reveal yourself to us, to pull back the curtain so we can get a glimpse of the glories that are awaiting us, the glories of heaven, the glories of the fact that someday you will reign on this earth, everything will be made right, the glories of seeing you for who you are, of getting a glimpse, Lord, just a small glimpse of your plan and what you are up to and how you are guiding all things to a point of culmination and conclusion. We thank you, Lord, that you always were. There was never a time that you were not. There will never be a time that you will not be. But you are. And you supersede all time. And you are on the throne. And we can trust you. And so, Lord, we need to be ready for that day when you return. But at the same time, look up because in faith we look up to you because you are on the throne. And hold on because there is a better day coming. There is a day when everything will be made right. And yes, we may have tribulation now. But we know that a glorious future is promised to us. And we are assured of that because this was a word of revelation directly from you. You stand behind it. It comes with your authority and it comes in your name. So thank you for this word, for this book. Lord, teach us great things about you. Reveal to us more of who you are and of your plan and of your mysteries that were keep hidden, that were kept hidden, that we can know and understand you better. To receive from you the blessing that you intend for our life from this book. And as we read it and put it in practice and live it in our life, that we may be faithful to you. So thank you, Lord, for your word, that you are the word, that you've made yourself known. And we ask this prayer through Jesus, in whom we pray. Amen.